Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic. What's up, Luca?
Hey Cayman, how are you today?
Pretty good. Just chilling? Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Not much going on.
I'm chilling too. That's good. Do you have any plans for today? Or are you literally just chilling all day?
Yeah, I have nothing going on today.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
It's pretty sunny, but a little too hot to like go on a walk or anything.
What does a little too hot mean?
Right now it's 87 and it's getting hotter. It'll be 89 in the next hour or so.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, it's kind of, we have 86 here, but our high is only 89, so it's not too bad. I'm going climbing today, though, in an indoor gym with my coworkers, a few of us that are like, you know, the younger people that are, you know, trying to be more friends with each other, you know,
the
do stuff.
Younger people.
yeah. You know, we're all trying to like hang out and like do stuff. Like last night we went out and we went dancing to Hispanic music, to Latin music. And then today... Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then today we're going to obviously go to the climbing gym and then maybe two-stepping tonight. I'm not quite sure. But tomorrow there is an Overland Expo about an hour away from Denver. And we're going to go to that. And that's going to be awesome. I'm very pumped.
Nice.
Yeah, man. So what have you been up to, though? Has work been treating you well?
Yeah. So about a week and a half ago, I wrapped up a pretty big project. So
nice.
I've been just like catching up on some like little things that I have been sitting on for a while.
Yeah. Work wise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like there's some like tiny little like emails that I forgot to send and random little like side projects that like were supposed to be done earlier, but I was too busy with my big project. So
yeah. Yeah. That happens as long as you catch up. Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. This whole last week, I was doing an FGI review for our hospital that we're building in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. So I literally read through. That's a good question. I have to write it. I'm like one of those people. Oh, perfect. I got it. Tahlequah.
Okay. That feels right.
Like Tahlequah. But yeah, so I've been reading the FGI guidelines and going through all of our plans to make sure we're up to code. And I have this big old Word document with things that we need to look over or talk about or questions that I had.
Nice.
So like, quite honestly, for me, I mean, it was okay. It was like extremely boring and tedious while everyone else was in Oklahoma, like going to the meetings, which is kind of where I wanted to be. And then on Friday, some of my coworkers went like on a business development thing, golfing, and I didn't get to go because I was doing the FGI stuff. So
dang.
Lovely. Yeah. Kind of sucks, but it is what it is.
Well, we rarely go on like big company outings like that. So
really? No, business development? I mean, I guess you guys are big enough. So
yeah. Well, I feel like your firm is still bigger, but
yes, but not in Denver. We're trying to get to like know the firms around Denver to like get projects or know our clients better, or they know us better.
I gotcha.
Because HKS is like relatively new in Denver. Like we've only been here it's a double digit number, but not too long. Yeah.
See, the office that I'm in only does Sam's Club and Walmart. And Walmart was the first client that our firm had like overall. And so,
yeah.
Like, we're not really looking for new clients here. That's more of a Kansas City thing.
Okay, I got you. I mean, you guys got enough work coming in, I bet. So,
yeah.
Ain't no thang but a chicken wang.
I'm sure. I'm sure the Kansas City folks love going out on golf meetings and stuff and meeting new people.
Yeah, I wonder what that's like. Yeah, one day I'll get to go on one of those, like, at least a golfing thing or like shooting or something like that. That'd be fun.
I think been planning, we have something on the calendar for like our Walmart team to go to like Top Golf in a week or so, I think.
Oh, hell yeah.
But it's not like a business thing, it's just like a hangout.
Yeah. I mean, that's still like good, you know, bonding with the coworkers. We do that every now and then.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Do You guys already have like a Halloween thing going for your work or no, not yet?
Halloween was kind of a little weird last year. I don't really know what our plans are for this year. I think last year they did like a small pumpkin carving competition. They just got like a bunch of fake pumpkins because obviously those stay good longer and they can like display them around the office.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the same. I didn't really do a whole lot last time. I'm not on the holiday committee this year, so I don't really know what's going on holiday wise. I was on the holiday committee last year, and then that was a lot of responsibility, so I was like, nah.
Oh, that's why you didn't want to do it again?
Yeah.
Damn, I feel that. Yeah, our coworkers were, our theme this year is Wizard of Oz. And nice. Most of us have our costumes picked out, or like at least the characters or things that we're going to be in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to be the tornado. Tornado. Hey, it's a big part of the movie, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't like want to be like an actual character. I don't know. So I was like, I'll be the tornado. That's a great idea. They wanted me to be like one of the munchkins or one of the flying monkeys. And I was like, hell nah, brother. I'm not doing any of that.
Bro, that'd have been freaking hilarious with you as a munchkin because you're like taller than everyone else.
Exactly. That'd just be whack. But I have some ideas for like the tornado, like, you know, wearing all gray and then tying strings to me with like different things on the end of the strings, like at different lengths. And then when I spin around, it looks like, you know, a tornado with shit flying around me.
Toy.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I don't really like know what toys, I'm like doing.
Little cows.
I know with Elena's family, we talked about doing like a group dress up of the movie, The Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, that is cool. That'd be fun.
But I honestly have no idea who I would be or what I would be.
Damn, you don't know?
I mean, there's not a lot of characters in that movie, and there's like
be Julian.
8 or 9 of us.
Yeah, be Julian. What? King Julian.
That's Madagascar.
Isn't he in that movie too, though?
No. It's a completely different movie. Sure? Yeah.
I thought they intertwine with each other.
Nope.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Okay. never mind then. Damn, I thought they were. What? Okay, now I'm confused.
That's not even the same animation style. Emperor's New Groove is 2D animation. Madagascar is a digital animation.
Okay, true. Oh, I was thinking about Yeah, I Googled it. Well, I didn't Google it, but I just thought of it. Okay.
I'm wrong, Googled it, sure. In your mind.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. This is not right. So another thing happened. Kind of lame. I was playing volleyball the other day, and I hit the ball, and I wear a Garmin watch, and it's a pretty big watch.
Yeah.
And it bounced off my watch straight into my face, and I broke my glasses.
Damn.
Yeah, dude, my glasses literally split right in the middle on the nose piece, and they literally flew apart. Like, they went left and right, like about 5 feet. But yeah, dude, it didn't even hurt. It was just more embarrassing because, dude, everyone started laughing, and then they were like, dude, I've never seen anything like that. I thought it was like only in cartoons where your glasses explode like that. And I was like, fuck.
Well, I'm blind now, so
like low key. Yeah, I mean, I, you know, it's okay. I still have the lenses. So what I did is literally on the court, I already had bought new glasses, at least the frames.
Yeah.
And it's funny because about 2 days beforehand, I had bought like a different pair of frames because I need to go back to the eye doctor to get my eyes checked because I can tell my right eye is not as the same anymore. But they won't fit the lenses properly. So I had to, you know, buy I wanted my exact frame, which my frame they don't make anymore, but yeah I found it luckily, and it's coming hopefully at one point. I could just change lenses. Yeah, but that was probably the sad thing that happened. My glasses blew up. Tough.
I ordered some Chacos the other day.
Oh.
Because I don't really have any like sandals. At one point I had some flip-flops, and then my flip-flops broke. And I'll probably at some point get another pair of flip-flops just because those are like really easy to slip on and off. But I got some like proper like hiking sandals.
Oh, awesome. I mean, that's good. You need those. Yeah. Sure. Damn.
All right. Like, well, probably just wear them mostly for comfort, because like if we were going on like a proper hike, I feel like I'd still prefer to wear like hiking boots.
Actual boots. Yeah. Unless it's like, you know, a little casual stroll in the woods.
Yeah.
Throw those bitches on and you're good to go.
Yeah.
All righty. So, Cayman, what movie are we talking about today?
Today, we are going to be talking about Thor Ragnarok, which came out in 2017. It was directed by Taika Waititi and stars Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston, as well as some other folks. Cate Blanchett as Hela, Mark Ruffalo, Idris Elba, Jeff Goldblum, Tessa Thompson, just to name a few. Pretty much everyone in this movie is famous, so
yeah,
pretty crazy.
Yeah, okay. I don't know any of those names except for like two of them, so that explains why I'm the casual viewer. What did you think of the movie?
It had a estimated budget of $180 million, and it grossed about $854 million.
Good profit. That is a great profit. A margin right there, for sure. And I thought the movie was solid. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I think I'd seen it like way back when it came out, which was when 2017, you said?
2017, yeah. It actually came out the same year as Spider-Man Homecoming, which was the last one we talked about. They released three movies in 2017. There was Thor Ragnarok, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, right. Yeah. Those big ones did come out then. Yeah, but I watched it and it was as if I watched it for the first time, and I was having a great time watching it. Like, good action, good storyline, good characters, good actors, kind of all around. I was just like, this is pretty solid.
Yeah, and it definitely obviously represents a huge tonal shift in like the character of Thor, because obviously prior to this he was much more of like a like dramatic, like Shakespearean kind of a character. Yeah. And like there wasn't really a whole lot of jokes in like Thor the Dark World.
Right. Movie started off cracking jokes.
Brother betrayed me and my mother died and my girlfriend and all of that dramas. And there's like dramatic things that happen, like we'll get into it in the spoiler review, but like it's not that there isn't any drama in this movie, but Thor isn't as serious of a character. It's much more of a comedy.
Right. Yeah. It started right off the bat. Like the first thing in the movie was just already comedy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like serious, but then comedy. I liked it. So, should we do our little game before we get into the spoiler?
Yes. So now it is time for us to step into the boxing ring.
The boxing ring.
I think you went first last time, so I'll go ahead and go first this time.
All right.
Also, I'm totally just guessing. The audience will know who went first and who went last. But
yeah. I'm pretty sure I did go first last time because I sucked.
All right. Thor Ragnarok. I'm going to say after Thor's long lost sister, Hela, returns to Asgard and starts causing chaos, Thor must Thor gets lost and must team up with a group of new and familiar allies to take on this challenge. This is a rough one. That's all I got.
that was pretty solid. That was solid. Let's see here. After Thor realizes that Loki took his father's place, they find Odin. This is already going downhill, bro. Let's see. They find Odin, who tells them that he will be passing and his evil sister Helena, which they did not know of, will be returning. Thor teams up with Loki and a group of outer world aliens to take down Helena.
It's Hela.
Hela. Hela. H-E-L-A. You're right. Hela.
Yeah.
In a way that is very unexpected, by bringing back evil. That's all I got.
All right.
What's the evil guy's name? I wish I would know, because I would put that in there. I'd throw it in there too.
The big demon
dude
guy?
With the, yeah.
Surtur.
Surtur. Yeah, yeah. Surtur. I'd throw Surtur in there too. Nice.
All right. I guess we should probably start doing our, before I read this, we should maybe start putting our spoiler reviews before the game, because sometimes these, Oh, sometimes these little blurbs on the website can be spoilery.
Okay.
I don't think either of us spoiled anything, but I'm going to go ahead and say now before I read the proper one, just be warned.
Yeah, this is already the spoiler section now. Spoiler
coming on.
There we go.
All right, it says, Thor is imprisoned on the other side of the universe and finds himself in a race against time to get back to Asgard to stop Ragnarok, the destruction of his homeworld, and the end of Asgardian civilization at the hands of an all-powerful new threat, the ruthless Hela. Honestly, actually pretty solid. There, it spoils absolutely nothing. It doesn't even say that Hela is his sister.
Huh. I did. I spoiled that part.
Yeah, I think I did too, but the official one does not.
Yeah, that was pretty solid. Although they didn't even mention, I mean, I guess it's good they didn't even mention the big old dude, Surtur. Yeah. Huh. I think you got that one because you mentioned, I forgot to say Ragnarok again, I think. So
I think you got it. This mentions him being imprisoned and I talked about him getting lost. I don't think you talked anything about that.
No.
Still, that's only a slight victory.
That's good. All right. Well, since we've already basically let them know that the spoiler section has begun.
Yeah.
Let's just jump into it.
Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back into that.
Yeah.
Boom, break over. Look how fast that was.
Dang, that was so fast. That's crazy. I hope they had a good break and listened to all of the ad. Okay, well, I guess we can start with the first part, because I kind of mentioned earlier where it started off with comedy, which was where Thor was hanging in some chains and like some off some different planet where Surtur was.
Yeah, a weaker form of Surtur.
Yeah, we don't know where he is. He's just like in a bundle of chains and he's talking to like a skeleton, and then like he's like, I wonder how long we're going to be in here. And then he gets dropped. I don't exactly know. He gets dropped.
Well, it's funny because the way that it starts, they make it seem like it's like a voiceover. Like it's like one of those like classic movie things where like you see him hanging there and you hear Thor like, I bet you're wondering how I got here. And like it feels like he's talking to the audience, and then the reveal is that there's like another skeleton in the cage with him. He's talking to the skeleton.
Yeah, and like he says something that like was supposed to be shocking, and like the skeleton's jaw falls off. very good, like subtle details, like what you just said. Though, yeah, it started off very strong, and then he gets dropped to like a different cave, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's all the same cave, but he's in the lower part of the cave.
Yeah, lower part where across from him, Surtur, whom Thor thought Odin had killed, was sitting there like a weaker form of him. And because he was hanging like in a bundle of chains, Thor was like turning ever so slightly. And whenever Surtur wanted to have like a serious conversation, like, I'm going to go to your home planet and kill everyone, Thor would be like, oh. Give me one second. It's going to be turning here in a second. And he had to because he waited very for his body to like, you know, rotate and face him again, which I thought was hilarious.
It was really another, I mean, I don't want to just like sit here and talk about jokes the whole time, but it is a freaking hilarious movie. Another thing that happened is when he first drops down, Surtur is like, Thor, son of Odin. And Thor goes, Surtur, son of a bitch, I thought you were dead.
yeah. Oh my god, dude. I literally started, like, the movie started off with me laughing. It was great. Son of a bitch. And then he was like talking about like his helmet and he needs to put it into the eternal flame to get strong. And then Thor was like, huh, I thought that was just a big eyebrow. Oh, so good. So good.
And then Surtur summons there like a bunch of like skeleton demon things and whatever, and there's a huge fight scene and it was freaking awesome. I feel like a lot of this like opening sequence here like it's basically like a heavy metal album cover.
Yes,
like there's like skulls and lightning and all sorts of shit
and fire and hell dogs and like.
It's like if you just imagine a heavy metal album, that is this scene.
Exactly. Yeah, the cover, but live. The cover art, but live. man, it was super good. And of course, we find out that at his home planet, the guy that is supposed to, you know, teleport him out of there, I don't exactly know.
Heimdall
isn't in charge anymore because he's a traitor because of the last movie, I believe.
Yeah, and because when the, I'm assuming because when the dark elves attacked, he wasn't able to see all of them coming and defend the city and all that stuff. And so
yeah,
he got cast out. And if the audience and you remember from the end of the last Thor movie, Loki took the place of Odin. Mm-hmm. And so
yep,
obviously he doesn't want Heimdall snooping around because Heimdall would be able to see that it's him.
Right. Exactly. But yeah, so he didn't, they replaced him with a new guy who was basically flirting with these chicks and showing all of his cool stuff.
And he had a shake weight.
Yeah. He had like all this cool stuff and he was like, you know, the ladies were like, hey, I think this is important. And like the camera pans to him and he has like a shake weight and he's shaking it up and down. He's like, yeah. But and then when he does zap Thor out of there, that giant, I don't exactly know, dragon dog. I don't exactly know what it was.
Yeah, I think it was dragon, just straight up cat. A dragon.
Okay. Dude, he had like, the dragon had like fire instead of wings. He had like basically like propulsion system. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then he zapped Thor back and like, this is a pretty cool part because the dragon, part of the dragon came with him and like, they had to seal the door right, just like in time for the dragon not to come through, and they chopped its head off. And then like, yeah, all that goo like splattered over everyone. But like the scene with like the dragon's head sliding toward them and then the eye slowly rotating back from the back of the socket to like look at them.
Hilarious.
I thought that was so good. It was just like,
and the little like tongue flops out.
Yeah, the tongue flops out. Like obviously that was CGI, but it was so well done and I couldn't tell it was CGI. It could have been a giant, you know,
they could have got a real dragon on
set. Yeah, dude. They hired a real dragon to kill them.
No, but they did have really good visual effects in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. Like, never once did I, like, question, like, that's kind of shitty. But I think in the whole movie, I want to say there's only one thing that I thought was bad. One thing. And I don't know if we want to save that till later or... Go for it. Okay. So, one thing that gets revealed in this movie when... I guess we can... Let's work up to it because it's in the middle-ish area.
Well, the next thing that I wanted to mention was obviously like right after this scene, that one of the funniest things in this movie is when Thor gets back to the palace, there is a play going on and it is a recreation of Loki's death scene from the Dark World.
Yeah.
And it is the funniest freaking thing because first of all, everyone in the play is also a famous actor. I don't know if you noticed, but so it's Matt Damon is playing Loki, and then Luke Hemsworth, who is Chris Hemsworth's older brother, is playing Thor.
That's why they look so similar.
Yeah. And then Odin was played by Sam Neill, who I guess most famously he's like the main person in Jurassic Park, like the old movies.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, I did not notice.
I guess he's in the new movie too. I didn't even have to clarify because in Jurassic World Dominion, Sam Neill and Laura Dern are back.
Wait, there's a new Jurassic movie?
Yeah.
Wait, do I know about this? I might.
You probably do. They play friggin' trailers for it all over the place.
I have not seen it.
I haven't either. And no, I have no intention of it.
Oh, you're not going to?
No. I watched the first Jurassic World movie and it was I didn't watch the second one and I'm definitely not going to watch the third.
Is this like a playoff Jurassic Park?
It's not like a play, like, it's a sequel. Like it is.
Oh, it is
Jurassic Park.
Oh.
They just renamed it into Jurassic World. Well, because the idea, because it's like a soft reboot kind of a thing. And so the idea is that like all of the stuff that happened in the first three Jurassic Park movies is like 20 something years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
And they, like, a new company bought the park and like reopened it under a different name so that they could start making money off of it again. So they're like, oh, well, everyone like remembers the tragedy that happened at Jurassic Park, but this is Jurassic World and it's new and it's safe and you can come see dinosaurs.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
Of course, it's not safe at all. And a bunch of people die.
Yeah. Yeah. I just looked up Jurassic World Dominion and the ratings are not that good.
Yeah.
But it says 80% like this movie and then Rotten Tomatoes is at 29%.
I think it probably is. I mean, I don't know. Audience score is always a bit weird.
That's true. We realized that at one point. Let's see here. So they were doing the play and all those famous people were in there.
Yeah. And pretty much
is that where you're going for, with it?
I mean, the play, that was pretty much my entire point. I just thought the play was hilarious. Okay. It's super funny that they got all those people for a cameo. They were like literally like actual celebrities only in this movie for like 2 minutes and just doing the most ridiculous thing, and they have like a choir of singers and you're like, oh
yeah like the angel singers.
Yeah
I thought that whole scene was hilarious, also because they low-key, since he was taking his dad's place visually, obviously changed the events of like the play was obviously not true. So they made Loki look like such a hero and made Thor look like such a bitch. I thought, you know, it was hilarious. And then Thor was in the back watching it. He was like, what the fuck is going on?
And you see Loki disguised as Odin. He's just like laying there eating grapes.
Yeah, being fed grapes by his people. Kind of funny. But I think Thor knew it right away. Which is interesting. He didn't know at the end of the movie, last movie, that it was his brother, but he knew right away when he saw the play and saw how he was lounging there that it wasn't his dad, as well as the realms were falling apart.
Yeah.
But once Thor finds that out, they go basically on a quest to go find their dad. And where did they hide their dad? Oh, well, they hid him on Earth. They go to where Loki had last stored him, and the retirement home was being torn down.
He was like, I swear I left him right here.
Yeah, he's like, oh shit. Well, and then who's introduced here?
Then they get a impromptu visit from, or I guess Thor does. Loki is like teleported into a separate area, and then Thor gets brought to the Sanctum Sanctorum, mm-hmm. where he is met by Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. I did not know that he was going to be anywhere even remotely involved in this movie.
Yeah,
is that are they just trying to like tie the two series together? You know how like they did with the Flash went on a few different shows and stuff like that, or like the Arrow.
Oh, I never watched the Flash or the Arrowverse stuff, but pretty much it's just like they're in New York. Doctor Strange is in New York, and it's all part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So like. When they have an opportunity to like cross characters into other movies, they'll do it.
Yeah, whenever they get the chance.
And so Doctor Strange is basically like, hey, obviously I'm in charge of protecting Earth and you guys are from a different planet, so what the hell are you doing here?
Yeah, you brought Loki, who's a big old troublemaker.
Yeah, he, like,
especially the last time he was on Earth,
tried to enslave humanity last time he was here.
Yeah, he was like, why'd you bring a giant threat to Earth again? They're like, well, we're looking for my father, and then he told them where the father was. But one thing that I wanted to mention here was when they were leaving, Thor's like, oh, can I have like my brother Loki back? And he was like, oh, of course. And so he like snaps and Loki like falls out of the portal that he had put him in prior to. And Loki was like, I've been falling for 30 minutes, which I thought was great. So he put him like this endless falling chamber. I don't know exactly. But I thought that was just a little fun thing.
I will say, I think Benedict Cumberbatch, and this was like, this would have only been his second time as Doctor Strange other than in the Doctor Strange movie. So early on, but I feel like in this movie, he hadn't quite nailed the American accent yet. I feel like while I was watching that scene, it felt like it was slipping a couple times.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I noticed that too. Yeah. And I didn't know if that was supposed to be like a little British accent, but it was there.
No, because like Stephen Strange, the character, is fully American, but Benedict Cumberbatch is British. So he's faking the American accent.
Right. Man, he played Sherlock Holmes too, right?
Yep. Who is also a British character, so he didn't have to do anything for that.
Exactly.
But yeah. Other than that, I thought it was a pretty funny scene. There are some other jokes here and there, but Doctor Strange is like, if I tell you where your dad is, do you promise to go back to Asgard and leave us alone? And they're like, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
And it turns out Odin is in Norway and
he just basically hanging out like on the opens, side of a cliff.
Yeah, opens a portal and they go through and Odin talks about how he's about to die. And he's like, hey, just so you know, you have a secret sister. And after I die, she's going to come back. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Peace out.
And then he literally like disintegrates into thin air. Like,
yeah.
Is that how they die?
I think it like, I don't know if every death is that way, but I know like there's something about like Odin has this, it's called the Odin Force. And it's pretty much like what gives him his power. And I think there's a difference between like, I have died, like I got stabbed and now I'm dead kind of a thing versus like, I've run out of life and now it's my time to die.
Interesting. Okay. So what exactly is Odin's power? I don't know anything about him.
They don't really go too into it, but like, I mean, he obviously, like we saw in Thor the Dark World, he can like, he has a staff he can zap people with, and I think he has like a little bit of like foresight, I think. Yeah. But I know he's pretty much just like a good leader. He doesn't have like a specific power.
Right. That's why he used Hela for all his dirty deeds.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, he turned another thing that I didn't think about until just now, but I guess like they hadn't really established it. But when you think about like Norse mythology and like the idea of like Valhalla as like an afterlife for like brave warriors who die in battle, from like, does that mean that Odin didn't go to Valhalla because he didn't die in battle?
That's a good thought. Yeah, I don't know. If you die in battle, but you could also probably go there if you were like a heroic warrior, maybe. I'm not sure. Because not everyone can die in battle, right? Like,
in Norse mythology, there's two places that you can go after death. There's Valhalla, which is for warriors that died in battle. And then there's Hel, which is where everyone else goes. And it's not like,
goddamn,
it's not like the Christian concept of hell where it's like a bad place. It's just like, that is where dead people go. It's called Hel.
Interesting. Okay. Damn.
Because it's named after Hela, who is the goddess of death.
I see.
So obviously when you die, you go to
her,
the place where dead people are.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Maybe he didn't go there then. Yeah. Maybe he's in hell.
But I don't necessarily know that that's how it all works in the MCU, because they don't really, I mean, like there's a couple things coming up where we get like a sense of, I mean, even in this movie, because later in the movie, Thor like has a conversation with Odin, and they don't really specify whether it's just like in Thor's head or if he's like actually talking to his dead dad, but they're very vague on like an afterlife or the concept of an afterlife, at least at this point in the MCU.
Like the dad flashbacks. I had a question about that. I was like, what the hell is that about? Like, is it his subconscious? Did part of his dad go into his body? Like that energy? I don't know.
Yeah. They're a bit more explicit in some future stuff, but they definitely are very non-specific about it here.
Right.
But yeah, Odin dies, and then literally almost immediately, like before Loki and Thor even stand up again, a huge portal opens up and Hela comes out. And I mean, I just take this opportunity to say that I think Kate Blanchett did an amazing job. And obviously she's like, not that everyone else here is not a proper actor, but Kate Blanchett is like a proper actor. You know what I mean? Kind of like Anthony Hopkins is a proper actor, and he always does amazing as Odin. But
wait, what makes you a proper actor?
Well, that's what I'm trying, because like she like has awards and stuff. Like she has more renown than like Tessa Thompson.
Okay, so she's more known.
It doesn't necessarily mean that like any of these other people are like bad actors, but like Cate Blanchett has been acting for a long time and she is well recognized for her acting skill.
Okay.
But she absolutely killed it. I think she brought the perfect amount of menace and even just like the like evil sexiness, you know what I mean? Like just like the way she walks out of the portal and she's just like,
absolutely,
young bitches need to kneel in front of me right now. Yeah, or I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah. She was a badass bitch for sure.
Yeah.
And then like she tries, or Thor tries to fight her and he like throws this hammer at her and she catches that bitch in front of her.
Yeah. Yep.
And shatters it. When I tell you I was shooketh. I had no idea that you could break Thor's hammer.
Yeah, bro. I remember when I saw this movie the first time being like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, Thor and Loki thought the same thing. They were like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Like, how the fuck did she just do that?
They got ready to fight. And as soon as she shattered Mjolnir, Loki, like you could see he was immediately like, nope. And he was like, Heimdall, get us the fuck out of here.
Yeah, but Thor knew that was a bad call because what happens? I mean, they're getting zapped
because their home. Odin said that Hela draws her power from Asgard, so bringing her to Asgard would make her stronger.
Right. Although he says later that Asgard is just a place, which is kind of contradicting, but, you know.
Well, I think, like, Hela draws her power from the actual location, but...
What about that location? He said Asgard could be right here in Sweden.
Well, yeah, but he's talking about... When he says Asgard in that sense, he's talking about, like, the culture of Asgard. Like, yeah, it's like, yes, there is a physical location that is called Asgard, but he's pretty much saying it doesn't matter if that location is gone, because the important part of Asgard is the people.
Mm, okay. Wait, so you're saying there is a power source on Asgard?
I think Asgard is the power source.
But Asgard is the people, so the people are the power source?
No, there's two different Asgards.
What?
The physical floating island in space is called Asgard, and that is what is giving Hela her power. When they're talking about Asgard could be here, they're not talking about you could bring the floating island here. They're saying it doesn't matter about the Asgard, the location. You could call anything Asgard because the location isn't what makes Asgard important. It's the people and the culture that is what makes Asgard important.
Okay. So then that would lead me to my next question. What is it about the island that's floating in space that makes it powerful? Like, where is the power drawn from?
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. I don't think there's like a specific item on the island. I think the entire island is the magical thing.
Okay.
But so they end up getting... Oh, sorry, did you have something else?
No. Keep going. I was about to do the same thing you're doing.
They end up getting taken back to Asgard, and while they are being sucked up through the Bifrost, I think this is the first time that we see like what it looks like being transported. But you see them like flying, and there's like this huge rainbow tube all around them.
Like,
and while they're being and while they're being transported, they like fight with Hela, and she knocks them both out of the tube.
Yeah.
And
like the tube shatters for them. They get like thrown out into random parts of space.
And then when she gets to Asgard, you see Volstagg and Fandral, who are two out of the Warriors Three, and they immediately get killed like little bitches. And
it's not
my favorite moment, because I really like those characters and I feel like I'd be more okay with them dying if they like put up a fight. But she literally like walked through the door and threw a sword at both of them, and then that was it. I was like, oh well, that was pretty lame.
I agree with that. They shortened that scene down so much, and then just like took them out. Like, why even have them there?
Yeah,
it just didn't make sense to me. I don't know. Like, you could have had anyone in that area or no one, and it wouldn't have changed the outcome.
Yeah,
I don't know. But so her weapon is like her throwing of a sword that she can conjure, or like what exactly?
Yeah. So she has they're called Necroblades, but she can pretty much just like sort of like similar to how like Loki can make knives appear out of nowhere, except he isn't like actually creating a knife. Like, he just has knives hidden magically on him, but I think the knives and swords and all of the like spiky shit that Hela creates is like she's actually creating those things,
right?
And so then she can just like create weapons, and so she kills those two, and then we see she like recruits Scourge, who is the guy that took over her Heimdall. And then when she gets to the city, there's like the entire Asgardian army waiting, and the third of the Warriors Three, whose name is Hogun, and she gives a big speech, and then they're like, fuck you, and she kills literally everyone just by herself, and then Hogun dies as well.
Yeah, she single-handedly takes out their whole army.
Yeah.
With their flying ships shooting at her and everything. Like, it was insane.
Yeah.
Insanity.
Like, super, super OP.
Yeah, like...
She, like, threw one dagger at a ship and it explodes.
Yeah, she needs to be nerfed. That's, that's what's going on here.
So, yeah, she pretty much takes over Asgard immediately.
Yeah. And then we find out that she was Odin's weapon in his conquering of the universe.
Yeah, she, like... is talking to Scourge about how Odin likes to pretend that he's like this peaceful ruler, but the reason that he rules over the Nine Realms is because he conquered them.
Which is fair. I mean, she has a point. And at this point, she goes down to where they keep their, you know, prized possessions, and we are introduced to the Eternal Flame, which raises my question, where did this Eternal Flame come from? Like, do you have any idea?
It's eternal. So it doesn't have a beginning.
Okay. Well, where'd they find it?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like like something that's so big in like the story and like so dangerous, quote unquote dangerous, and everyone wants it. I kind of wanted a background on it. Like, how do they get their hands on it? At least, you know, if it's eternal, like you said, then obviously it was always there. But at the same time, I kind of want to know how they acquired it. Like they showed with a helmet, like they showed, they acquired the helmet through that battle at the start. And they could have done like a little flashback.
The Eternal Flame is what gives Surtur his power. And so I think what happened was, you remember in the beginning when Thor was talking about, oh, I thought Odin killed you. So I'm assuming at some point in the past, Odin fought Surtur. And after he defeated him, he took the Eternal Flame back to Asgard.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that. Yeah, see, that would make sense. That would make sense. Okay, so we're introduced to the Eternal Flame, and then she takes the flame and into her hand, or at least a part of it, and breaks open a hole in the floor, jumps down to show her little minion how strong she is, and there's like a whole ass army down there, like skeleton army and her wolf dog, giant
Fenris.
Wolf dog, by the way, asleep, and then she like,
Well, my dad.
And she wakes
asleep.
All of them up with his damn... dead. And then she revives all of them with this damn eternal flame. I'm just confused. Yeah. I don't know. All of that was just very confusing to me. It was cool, but I don't know.
So she brings the old Asgardian army back to life. And because obviously she killed the army that was previously there.
Right.
And then we see what happened to Thor when he got kicked out. He landed on like this giant junk planet, and you like see up in the sky, there's like hundreds of like wormholes, and there's just like crap falling out of them all the time.
Yeah, like a giant trash planet, literally like a trash bin.
And so he just like lands in like a giant junkyard, and some like scrappers find him and bag him up, and then right as they're about to take off, that is when we are introduced to Valkyrie, who kills all the scrappers and takes him for herself.
Yeah, so is her name actually Valkyrie?
I don't think her character has a name, so they call her Valkyrie.
Yeah, because I mean, at one point we found out that she's part of the Odin army, Valkyrie. Like basically a woman's warrior division.
Yeah.
That were all killed by Hela.
Yeah.
So I just didn't know if she had an actual name. But anyway, she takes Odin. She puts like this little shocking thing on his neck. And basically she flies him to the ruler of that planet, which I don't know his name.
Sorry, I was trying to figure out if Valkyrie had a name. In the comics, her name is Brunhilde.
Oh, that was never mentioned in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's her name in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Also, comic book Valkyrie looks completely different.
More or less badass.
I mean, she's like a more Norse looking woman, like tall, white, blonde hair.
Oh, gotcha. I liked the character for the Valkyrie. She was very cool and pretty. She was very pretty.
Agreed.
But yeah, so she takes him to the ruler, right?
The Grandmaster is his name.
Grandmaster. Okay. And Odin is like presented in this chair like a trophy, and he's, you know, they declare him as a fighter. And
Thor.
He's like in Odin. Thor. Yeah, no, sorry. Odin's dead. Thor, they declare Thor like a fighter because obviously he's a fucking massive dude. And then
I like he Willy Wonka ride that Thor goes on when he's in the chair.
Yeah, what was that about? Because Thor started like screaming.
Yeah. Have you seen the original Willy Wonka, right?
Yes.
It's like pretty much exactly the same scene, except there's not like obviously all of the stuff about space and Sakaar and all that. But when the characters go on a boat ride on the Chocolate River, and when they go through the tunnel, there's like a bunch of singing, and it seems all happy, and then they start going faster, and then there's like weird like visions of like cockroaches and centipedes crawling on people's eyeballs, and then there's like flashing lights, and it's like terrifying. And
yeah
it's pretty much the same thing here.
So it was like a play on that, you think?
Yeah, well, they were, even the music in the background is the song from Willy Wonka.
Oh I didn't notice that.
Pure imagination.
Oh yeah, you're right. Huh. But yeah, I mean, Thor was screaming like a little girl, and then all of a sudden, like, he's in this room in the middle of like all these people, and I feel like he's very embarrassed to have screamed like that. Like this god of a warrior, and he's screaming like a little girl. But yeah, he gets accepted to be a warrior against his will, to fight the champion, whom we don't know.
Yeah. The Grandmaster is played by Jeff Goldblum, who is just the best. Like, probably the most charismatic person that I've ever seen anywhere. Like, I love that man.
Wait, why?
Just like he's just such a cool guy, and he's like chill, and he like just like silly little things, like when his assistant Topaz, he asks her to like push him closer, and then like while he's being pushed, he like is snapping and tapping his foot and just like being cool. And then like later after that, when he's talking to Thor about entering the contest, he just like walks over and starts playing on a piano.
He's
just like such a strange person, and it's like it's not even like a character thing, like that's just actually how Jeff Goldblum is in real life.
Really? That's funny. Yeah. But yeah, I liked him a lot. He was a very, very good actor in this movie. But we find out that he befriended none other than, you know, as Thor was looking around, he found Loki in the room.
Yeah. Apparently time is like there's a weird time dilation thing. And so Loki was saying that, like, even though they got spat out of the Bifrost like a couple seconds apart, Loki had already been on the planet for a few weeks.
Yeah. And he'd gained the trust of the ruler.
Yeah.
But Loki didn't want to admit that he knew Thor.
Right. And so the Grandmaster is like, well, hey, if you want your freedom, just beat my champion and then you will earn your freedom. And he was like, all right, well, let's do it. And so they send him down to like the gladiator pit or whatever. And this is where we meet Korg.
I love that man. The rock guy. That's what I called him. Yeah. I loved that character. I just so good. It's so creative. Like, this dude that's made out of rocks that looks super buff, and then he has like this high-pitched voice, and he's like super kind and like charming. Like, and what a good, you know.
This is actually his species is called the Cronins, and we've actually seen a Cronin before in the first scene of Thor: The Dark World. Do you remember when they were fighting on that planet, and then there was another giant rock monster, and Thor like hit him with his hammer once and he turned into a pile of pebbles.
Yes.
Yeah. So those
that was the same.
He is the same species.
Oh, okay. Well, this guy was like super fucking nice. He was like, he was charming. He was funny. I don't know. Like when Loki, it like he could teleport his image down there to talk to Thor. Yeah. And when Loki like disappeared, the rock guy like went up. He was like, oh, leave you stupid ghost or something like that. I don't exactly remember what he said, but yeah. He like kicked the wall where Loki was. And he was like, oh, I guess he disappeared.
He was like talking about like how he tried to start a revolution, but he forgot to print at enough pamphlets.
The so pamphlets? He said like,
he's like, the only people that showed up was my mom and dad.
Oh, I love it. I love it. My mom and dad. Oh, he was such a good character, man. I wish they would have put him in the movie more. That's like my only want in this, or like at least that we see him again. Oh,
yeah, I think
such a good character.
Korg is super, super funny. And I like you, I definitely love him. But the one downside is I feel like the first time I watched it, everything was super funny. Now that I've seen it a few times, watching it again, they're like, I want to say probably like 50 to 60% of the jokes are like really only funny the first time.
Oh, you think so? Is he not funny anymore like, to you?
There was some like the scene after this when he's like, he's talking about how he missed his hammer and he's like, yeah, the hammer was great. I used to do this thing where I would spin it around and then it would pull me off the ground. But Korg interrupts him. He's like, oh my God, the hammer pulled you off. Yeah. Like, that was fucking funny.
Oh, yeah. He's just so funny. I loved it. He was great. And then we see him again at the end and he's just like super charming and caring. Although he's a giant rock.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's pretty cool. But then the next thing that we see is Thor getting ready for a fight, and apparently he has to get a haircut for the fight. I'm not quite sure why, but none other than
that's how it works with gladiators.
Yeah, fair. But none other than the owner is giving him the haircut. The owner of Marvel. Stan Lee is there.
You should really remember his name.
Yeah, maybe, but I'll just call him the owner. But yeah, Stan Lee was
He's not even, he's not even really the owner. He was just like one of the people that worked for Marvel and created stuff.
The creator. But yeah, he was in the movie again and he played the character that was cutting Thor's hair, which was another, you know, little funny scene.
And there was like weird giant contraption.
Yeah, it was like Edward Scissorhands almost, but not quite.
I did think that Thor's like gladiator outfit was pretty dope. I liked the helmet was cool. The little like red paint stripes down the side of his face.
Yep, I agree.
His tweet.
Yeah, he was outfitted. He was kitted for sure. And then he gets into the ring and they introduce the, you know, champion.
The champion.
And who is the champion?
The champion is the Incredible Hulk.
None other than the fucking Hulk, dude. I was not ready for that. Yeah. I was not ready for the Hulk to be there. Well, I guess we know where his fucking ship flew and crashed
at. Yeah. That's why every time before when you were like, but where's the Hulk? But where's the Hulk? Where? I was like, bro, you don't even know. You don't even know where the Hulk is.
Just wait. Yeah, dude, the Hulk came out. Like, I was like,
is the Hulk in the ocean? I was like, he's not in the ocean.
He's somewhere else. Yeah, when he came out, dude, I kind of like lost it a little bit. I was like, oh my fucking God, it's the Hulk.
And you can see when the Hulk came out, Loki like looked kind of concerned for a bit.
Yeah, he looked like very concerned
because the Hulk beat the shit out of him in the Avengers.
Yeah with that move where he like smashes him side to side and then beats his face in. Yeah,
and during the fight he ends up doing the same thing to Thor. And then Loki is like, yeah.
And then he's like, now you know how it feels. Oh gosh. But then
Thor tries to do the like lullaby thing that Black Widow was doing before.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, the sun's getting real low. Like sticks out his hand.
Yeah, and then Hulk just grabs it and just Hulk smashes him into the ground a few times. But
overall, the fight is amazing.
The fight was super fucking good. Like the switch from the Thor like taking the Hulk's hammer and, you know, basically swinging it so hard that the Hulk, for the first time, I think, in the whole arena, his whole existence there, looks like he might be losing.
Yeah, and you can see this is like a good representation of like how strong Thor is, because like a lot of those hits, you're like, if the Hulk had hit anyone else like that, they would immediately be dead.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. And then the Thor almost won, but the leader of the
Grandmaster,
the Grandmaster, like zapped him last second, and so the Hulk was about to do his famous Hulk smash, jumps like 1,000 feet into the sky, and it's like barreling down toward Thor. But then I think this is where we get introduced to Thor's first vision. Correct? I'm pretty sure.
No, he just gets hit and blacks out. The vision happens before that. He's getting punched around, and then he has a vision of Odin in like flashes, and then we see like his whole body starts like crackling with lightning, and like his eyes glow, and then he runs up and like uppercuts the Hulk, and the Hulk like flies across the arena, and that's when like everyone starts cheering for Thor instead, but the Grandmaster looks like really concerned.
Okay, that's
where, and then that's when he shocks him, because he doesn't want the Hulk to lose.
Right. Okay, that's where the lightning came in. I thought it was like he saw the vision.
And then after he gets shocked is when Hulk jumps at like literally 200 feet in the air, and then just like slams back down on top of him.
Yeah. Okay, but this is perfect timing for my one negative of this whole movie. It is the Hulk's voice. I think they did a terrible job of the auto voice of Hulk. It just sounds weird. Like you can hear like I don't know if you would listen to it back, or if like the audience listens to it, just listen to Hulk's voice. It just sounds so electric, like so electronic, versus like the other ones where he just sounded like the Hulk, like that was his real voice. But this one, you could tell there was like voice changers and all that stuff. And it was just, I don't know. I did not like it. That's like the one thing about the movie where I was like, oof, they should have done better.
I either didn't notice or I was fine with it. I don't know, but it didn't register for me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe at one point listen back, just like listen to a clip of his voice. It just sounds so weird. I don't know. There's like a ping of electronic in his voice, and I mean, it happens, but still.
Yeah. So I did have a different negative though, which is that I thought it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me how Thor can literally be like crackling with lightning and is literally the god of thunder, and then like this tiny little neck thing can like shock him. I feel like electricity shouldn't affect him.
Right. I totally agree with that. He is the man of lightning, and a little shock collar is gonna put him down that bad? No way. Yeah. There's no way. Like if they would have done that with like it would inject something into his veins, which would like make him sleepy. Okay, I can get that. But for it to like be a little shock collar device, which sends, I feel like that would just make him stronger. I don't know.
Yeah. Well. Oh well.
Yeah. I totally agree. That's a good. I didn't even think of that, but true. Yeah.
We get a little bit later. There's a whole like moment where we see Heimdall is like now out like on the outskirts of Asgard, like in the forest, and he's like helping people escape the city. And I like wrote my note here was that I could literally watch an entire movie about like Rebel Heimdall, because I don't know, I feel like all of the scenes with him just like being a badass and like leading people to safety and then cutting the freaking skeleton army dudes, I was like, bro, this is so cool.
I was super pumped when I like wrote in here all caps the old gatekeeper, because I don't know his name, obviously, because it's me. But yeah, like you said, man, he every time he showed up or he was doing anything, it always looks so fucking sick. It's just something about him and his character and the way like he plays it. It's solid. But then at one point, I'm not exactly sure. I know some time passes here in the movie, but my next point that I wanted to make is, I think it's when the Valkyrie meets Loki, and I think she was beating him up, but then Loki, because he can touch people and show them their past. He like touches her head because she was talking about like being part of the Valkyrie gang back in the day, and basically gives us this giant flashback, and her, of course, of like the fight they had against Hela, which I thought was spectacular. Like they're on like these
apps. Stunning,
unreal, like these flying horses like all together, and they're like, it was just so spectacular.
it's like a 10 second scene, but like every single shot is like, I want to hang that up as a painting.
Right.
Like it was beautiful.
Yeah. Every shot was just gold. Every single one. It was phenomenal. I mean, that was probably one of my favorite like short clip sequences of the whole movie, just because it was so, I don't know, like the darkness of it, but then the light of these women on their horses going into battle. And then,
yeah,
I mean, everyone was slain basically, but it was still phenomenal.
Hela like kills almost all of them immediately. And then she's about to kill like main Valkyrie, the person that we know. And then one of the other ones like steps in front of her and
takes
the blade.
Yeah. And then I don't exactly know how she escapes, though. I don't think that ever covered that, but
I would assume she just like, because it looked like the other one like pushed her down. So she was just like laying in all of the other dead bodies.
Mm.
And so she probably just like stayed there until Hela left.
Maybe. Yeah. But I mean, that scene was just phenomenal. If I would tell people to watch the movie, this would be one of those things that you should watch it because of this scene. It was just so cool.
Yeah, it's super cool.
It was great.
Yeah. And so because like up to that point, because at one point Thor like sees, because she has a tattoo on her wrist that's like shows that she's a Valkyrie. And
she's an Asgardian, right? And or one of his
all the Valkyries are Asgardians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he sees the tattoo and he's like, oh my God, you're a Valkyrie. Like, you have to help me. That's so cool. And she's like, I don't do that shit anymore. I'm just getting drunk and trying to forget everything.
Yeah.
And we're like, there's a couple scenes where they like talk about it and they're like, why did you give up on life? Like, what's wrong with you? And then you see is like last time that like she fought Hela, everyone that she cared about died. So
yeah, so there's nothing left to live for, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then at one point, like the Hulk and her have a good relationship. And so the Hulk like lures her into his room, and then her and Thor have like a conversation, very short lived, because she drinks like a shit ton, amazing amount. You have to watch the movie to understand that reference, I guess. But like then Thor is like, hey, like Odin died, Hela is back, and you know, we have to go save the planet and all that jazz. And she wasn't really into it at first. Like, she wasn't wanting to be a part of it. But at one point, I don't exactly know what changes. Obviously, she became part of it.
Yeah, well, because I think she didn't help him immediately. But he, like, because he managed to swipe the, like, controller for the Shocky device off of her. And so he removed the little Shocky chip. And then, like, he gets, like, a big rubber ball from Hulk and smashes it against the window, and it comes back and smashes in the face, which is hilarious. But then he just like jumps out the window because Hulk had mentioned that he got here with the Quinjet. And so Hulk was like, or Thor was like, yeah, let's take the Quinjet and we can go back to Asgard. So he jumps out the window and he like goes to find the Quinjet,
which you could see from the window, luckily enough.
I did think it was super hilarious. Well, like all of the time that they were spending in that bedroom, and like Thor and Hulk arguing, and Thor was about to leave. At one point he was like, I don't even remember all the different things, but there's like at one point Hulk like gets out of the hot tub and Thor's just like, oh, and he's like, because Hulk is fully naked, he's like, well, that's in my brain now.
And then like we see the Hulk's butt. That's what we see, because he looks out the window. So we're introduced to his buttocks.
At another point where he's like getting mad, he's like, you know what, this room is stupid, like red and white, like pick a color.
Yeah, and then like walks into like the barrier. He didn't know there was a barrier there. And then like the whole
Remember like the order of these, but just like everything that happened in that bedroom was hilarious.
I agree.
And at one point he like Hulk is talking about how like no one likes him, and then Thor gets mad and he was like, you know what, Earth does hate you. And then Hulk like a little literal 4-year old like pouts and like throws his arms down and goes and sits on the bed.
And then he also called him the stupid Avenger. Everyone thinks you're the stupid Avenger. And then obviously Thor like is like, oh shit, I made the big baby mad.
And they eventually they make up, and he's like, no, it's fine. And he was like, you and me were a lot the same. And Hulk was like, yeah, Hulk like fire, Thor like water. And Thor's like, well, we're both kind of like fires. And Hulk's like, yeah, but you baby fire.
No,
Hulk,
he says
like raging fire.
Yeah, he says, I'm raging fire, you're embers.
At Embers, yeah. Yeah.
And the whole, and Thor was like, okay. Yeah, everything that happened there was hilarious. And then they get into the Quinjet, and then of course,
completely destroys it because he doesn't want Thor to leave.
Yeah, Hulk destroys it, but then in the process of the image of none other than, I forget her name.
Natasha
comes up and is like, obviously calms the Hulk down and boom, there's Barry.
Banner.
Sorry. Barry's the Flash.
You're real good with these names.
Dude, I told you, names just don't work with my brain. I can't. I knew it was something with a B and R. No, it's Banner. Yeah. Yeah. And then boom, there's Banner.
That, and we find out that because he like immediately starts asking about Ultron and everything. And Thor's like, bro, Ultron was like
two years ago.
And he's like, holy shit, I've been the Hulk for 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's when like while they're like trying to escape and whatever, Banner is talking about how it was like completely different. And he said, usually when the Hulk takes over, it feels like they each have a hand on the wheel. But he said this time it felt like he was like locked in the trunk and he like had absolutely no control. And he's scared that if he turns into the Hulk again, he might never change back.
Right, right. Because Hulk had such control over him.
Yeah.
For that long of a period.
But so then the Grandmaster rounds up Valkyrie and Loki, and he's like, listen, my grand champion is missing, and Thor is your brother, and you're the one that brought him to me, so both of you are responsible for this. Go find them.
Yeah. And so they go out hunting, kind of, not really.
Yeah. And yeah, so they like pretty much as soon as they leave the room are like end up fighting with each other.
Yeah, like immediately. And that's when we see that flashback, right?
That's when the thing happens.
Yeah.
I don't remember when they end up catching them.
Well, Thor and
because there's the like Hulk. A huge Hulk parade, and so everyone's like throwing green paint around, and people have like giant like banners and pinatas and statues and stuff, and they're like,
they just kind of run into Valkyrie. They just run into her. There's like nothing really. They just kind of run into her, and she was like, "What are you doing?" And she obviously
I know. Yeah. At one point, Banner starts talking to Thor, and Thor was like, "Yeah, well, we get back there, and then you can Hulk out, and we'll beat everyone up." And Banner's like, "No. Weren't you listening to me? Like, I don't want to change back into the Hulk." And then he's like, whatever, you're just using me to get to the other guy. You don't even care about me. Like, no, I don't even like Hulk. You're my friend. And it was like especially funny because he said the exact same thing to Hulk.
Exactly.
Earlier.
Yeah. He was like, I don't even like the Hulk, man. And then when he was the Hulk, he was like, man, I don't even like Banner. Like,
yeah.
And then like you could see like on Banner's face, he's like, oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. He was like, how many, I've got 7 PhDs. How many PhDs does the Hulk have?
And he was like, well, okay, true, but Hulk's a better fighter.
Yeah. So like you said, they eventually run into Valkyrie, and then, they're looking for a ship so that they can escape the planet. And, Loki says he knows all of the like security codes so that they can steal one of the Grandmaster ships.
Yeah. And so like one of the next like funny scenes that we see is Thor and Loki like in the elevator, and they were talking about like, you know, obviously how to get the ship. And they apparently back in the day they came up with like this method that was called the get help method, which is where Thor is like holding Loki, and he's like yelling to anyone and everyone that could hear him, like the guards when they went in, they're like, help, I need help. And then they just like destroy them, basically.
Yeah.
Catch him off guard.
Throws Loki at them.
Yeah. Which I thought was one of those, you know, funny scenes. But then of course,
I did think there was also while they were in the elevator, they had like a very sincere, like brotherly moment, because like Loki like jokingly talked about staying on the planet, and Thor was like, no, you should, it's perfect for you here, lawless chaos, lots of people to control. And Loki's like, is that really what you think about me? And Thor's like, well, I used to think that you were amazing, but obviously you've proven me wrong every time, so maybe it's better if we never see each other again. And you could tell that like that really hit Loki.
Yeah. I mean, although Loki literally within the next 2 minutes was going to betray him.
Oh, for sure.
Again. Yeah, like, he's not wrong. You can be upset at something that's true, which, you know, happened. So, but luckily, Thor was smart enough to, like, already kind of plan ahead, and he placed that chip that was on Thor on Loki's back.
Yeah, and you can even see, I, like, thought about it after it shows him getting shocked. I was, like, trying to think about when he put that on his back. But there is a moment while they're in the elevator where Thor slaps him on the back, like, in a brotherly way. And I'm pretty sure that that's when he put the chip on him.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah. Yeah. So obviously Loki wanted to double cross Thor and you capture him and turn him in for a lot of money. But Thor was smarter, so he zapped Loki and then took the ship and dipped out.
Yeah. And so then it's him and he starts flying off, and then Valkyrie and Banner come in her ship, and she, like, throws Banner up into the other one.
Yeah.
And then her ship gets destroyed, so she jumps off onto the ship that Thor is piloting. And then there's, like, this whole scene where he's like, Thor is like, oh, I should be helping her, because she's, like, jumping around from ship to ship, like, destroying them from the outside. Mm-hmm. And Thor's like, I'm gonna do that too. And he's like, quick, Banner, you fly. And he's like, I don't know how to fly a spaceship. And Thor's like, use one of your PhDs.
yeah, use one of your 7 PhDs, please. Yeah, so, like, that scene was pretty cool too. I mean, flying around, destroying ships, and it was pretty chaotic, but yeah, well done. And then after,
and they're just, like, tearing through them, like, literally they just, like, jump onto a ship, and then I think even one of them, like, Thor literally just punches a ship until it explodes.
Yeah. So that's, like, a very strong scene. But after that scene, it goes back to, where does the dad flashback happen here? Wait, it doesn't. There is none. No, there is none.
It's yeah, there's one, like, later.
Okay.
Oh, there's
okay.
One other thing. Another joke in a movie full of hundreds of jokes, but there's a quick scene where the Grandmaster and Topaz are, like, walking, and it was right before Thor and Loki got to the ship, and Topaz is like, the slaves have managed to get into the mainframe, and Grandmaster's like, whoa, I don't like that word. And she goes, mainframe? And he's like, why would I not like mainframe? No, the S word.
Oh, yeah. He's like, please don't say that. Oh.
And she's like, fine, the prisoners with jobs.
Yeah, right. That they're not getting paid for.
But yeah, so they managed to escape. There's, like, one giant wormhole that they call the Devil's Anus.
Yep.
And they fly through it, and when they come out the other side, they're all, like, passed out, but they luckily managed to get pretty much directly next to Asgard.
Yeah.
And so they get there, and I think they're trying to distract Hela, because that's when he has another, like, psychic meeting, whatever, with Heimdall, because Heimdall can hear and see everything. And so he, like, I don't really understand the ability, but he can, like, make it so that Thor can see what he sees.
Yeah. And like, so, sharing the vision or something like that.
Right. Yeah. And so he's like, we're trying to escape, but Hela knows where we are and she's coming for us, so we need your help to distract her. And so when they get to Asgard, Thor is like, I'm gonna go to the throne room and distract Hela, and you guys help everyone get off the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he goes there, and Hela and Scourge get to the, like, cave hideout, and they, like, knock down the giant doors, and everyone's gone. And then they hear, way back in the throne room, Thor is, like, pounding a staff on the ground. And so Hela goes back, and they fight, and this isn't, like, the specialist fight. Yeah, I feel like this may be the weakest fight in the movie, I think.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad, it just was, like, plain.
Yeah, I would agree with that, yeah.
Although, at one point, Hela does cut one of Thor's eyes out.
Yeah, which was kind of weird. I don't know, like, it didn't even look like it was cut out, it was just burned out. It was like a giant black burn mark.
Very weird the way that they, like, made it look like it was like
it just came out of nowhere.
I guess it's a, like it would be a little gruesome if there was like a hole in his face, but you're right, like they don't real like it's not very clear that his eye is like I think it's supposed to be like blood all over his face, but it's just like a little bit of red around the edges and then this huge black spot where his eye was.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like no actual blood comes out. It's not like dripping or anything. It's just like, boom, immediate black spot.
Right. And why do they do that? Like, what's the purpose behind it? You know, like,
what do you mean?
I don't feel it for me. It just came out of the blue. Like there was no reason for them to do that to Thor. I don't know. Like take a finger or two. But like, why the eye?
Well, because it was like it was a symbolic thing because Odin also only has one eye.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, because she was even like you're. I don't remember exactly what she said, but she said, "Oh, you're just like our father. You have no vision," and that's when, which, like, obviously she meant vision in like a wisdom sort of sense, but then she like does the literal
thing. Yeah, she literally takes one of his eyes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that scene. I didn't write anything about it. So,
yeah. But they fight and Loki shows up and starts like loading people onto the ship and they're all fighting. Not yet. There is because they're all running to the Bifrost and then
the giant wolf
Fenris, yeah, is waiting there and Valkyrie pulls up and she's like, oh, what are we going to do about that? And Banner's like, you wanted to know who I am? You'll find out. And they, because the whole time, because obviously Valkyrie only knew him while he was Hulk. And so she's like, there's like three different times where they're like, do we know each other? I feel like I know you. And she's like, I feel like I know you too.
Yeah, neither of them know.
And, but he's like, you're about to find out. And then he jumps out of the ship and Fenris is charging towards Heimdall and the other citizens. And they make it seem like it's going to be this huge heroic thing. Like he jumps out of the ship and then the Hulk comes and smashes Fenris. But then you just see like Banner's body smack against the bridge.
Like literally face plant in front of the giant like, wolf dog.
Like full on just died.
Yeah. And then the wolf like bends over and like smells him and just kind of like keeps going. He's like, all right, well, never mind. He's dead.
Yeah. And then like right as he's about to reach and like Heimdall's getting his sword ready. And then we see that Hulk grabbed Fenris by the tail and they start fighting.
Yeah. Finally, the Hulk is back.
Yeah. After being there for 2 years.
Yeah, he's right.
Finally back after like a day of being there.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Hulk in these movies. He's an important character, I feel like. Important dumb character.
But yeah, so after Hulk and Fenris start fighting, that's when Loki shows up and they start loading everyone onto the big ship. And then like the skeleton army ends up like being a little too much. And that's when Hela is like threatening Thor, and that's when he has his like big like vision where he's talking to Odin. And he's like, she's too powerful. I can't win. And
she broke my hammer.
She broke my hammer. And everyone's like, what are you, Thor, god of hammers? And he's like, yeah, but what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm not as strong as you. And Odin goes, no,
you're stronger. And I was like, oh my god, he's stronger. And then he just turns into, again, a badass. This is like another heavy metal album cover coming out.
And so he like calls down the biggest fucking lightning bolt, like puts a hole through the palace.
Yeah.
And knocks Hela out for a bit, and then he like jumps down, and that there's like another super cool shot of like there's like a mountain of the skeleton soldiers like raising their spears and swords towards him, and he's just like coming out of the sky towards them.
Yeah, he just
excellent shot.
Yeah. And he just destroys them. I mean, just obliterates them.
Yeah. And they start playing Immigrant Song in the background.
Yep.
Badass.
Badass fuck.
Song choice.
Yeah. It's like his fighting song.
Yeah. But yeah. So that happens.
Yeah. That whole scene was, again, one of a great scene that they had. Short. I mean, yeah, it was longer clip, but it was very well made. And CGI was on point.
Yeah. I honestly don't even have any notes after that. Like, other stuff happens, but that fight scene was like the last notable thing for me.
Yeah, I have like two or three more, kind of one question. The rock guy came back when finally the ship pulls up and he's like, they got everyone loaded in and Thor and them are on the ship too, and they're like going away. And that's when basically Loki went and put the giant helmet into the fire, eternal flames, yeah. And the giant mountain dude came back and started causing havoc, destroying the building. And so him and Hela fight, and she
loses pretty quickly.
Yeah, she loses insanely quickly. He like raises this giant fucking fire sword and just plunges it straight through hers and like into the core of the planet. Yeah. And at this point, the rock guy was like, you know, we can always rebuild this as long as those foundations are intact. And then like the planet blows up and he's like, no, those foundations are gone. Sorry. And yeah. Like, again, that was like one of the cute, like the rock dude coming in, like trying to be hopeful. And he was like, oh, well, sorry about that. The foundations aren't there anymore. Yeah. But then they were on the ship and they're like, oh, where are we going to go now? And Thor's genius idea was to go to Earth. And yep. I was like, wait, didn't they want to keep Earth like out of everything, like keep it safe because the people on there that like they're basically helpless and they don't even know.
Nah, they're not helpless. They've got the Avengers.
Yeah, but still, like, I don't know. And I don't know if that's like where they are going to end up, because you can't just land on Earth with a bunch of aliens and rock people, you know?
Why not? Loki did it.
Yeah, I mean, true. And then like one of the last scenes we see, or it might have been one of the extras, they're like flying and all of a sudden you see like the shocked look on Thor's and Loki's face when they like look up and they're like facing this enormous fucking ship, like the size of a planet. And they're like, they're like dwarfed in a ship that we thought was big prior to, but like, and then that scene ends and then we get like one more credit scene at the very end, which is they're apparently at the junk planet. There was a revolution to overthrow the Grand Master General guy. The Grand Master. And the Grand Master like ends up in like the trash, and again those the collectors were around him. He was like, well, you know, it's a good thing that, you know, we're all here together. I'm very proud of you guys. I'm glad that we had this you know, this revolution, but it's a tie. And then the scene ends and we don't know what happens, but yeah, that's the end of everything. Those are at the end of my notes, at least, and the movie.
Cool. I know, this is just like a random, I guess we're about to get into proper trivia, but just an extra tidbit that I have. Do you remember the collector from Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes. Is that the same guy?
No, they are brothers.
They are brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. I had thought about that and I thought they were the same character, but I was like, I don't know. They're brothers. That's cool.
I know. Well, I don't know anymore. Yep. Apparently they're called the Elders.
The Elders?
I don't really know that much about them. What?
The Elders?
Yeah.
The Collector people?
The Collector and the Grandmaster, yeah. They're known as the Elders. I don't really know anything about them. I just know that they're related.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that they were related or that it was a different character, but interesting. Maybe because they've been around for a long time, they probably have like all the junk from ever, and maybe there's a life-saving one in there to make them old age.
Maybe.
Who knows? I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
But yeah, now we can get into trivia.
The real trivia.
Not a whole lot here. There's some interesting ones though.
Okay.
First one is Thor's friend from work line about the Hulk was actually suggested to Chris Hemsworth by a Make-A-Wish child who visited the set on the day that scene was filmed.
Wait, what was the line?
When Thor's about to fight the Grand Champion and then the Hulk busts out and then Thor's like, yeah, and everyone's confused, like, why is he excited? And he's like, he's a friend from work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's cute.
In Norse mythology, Loki is actually the father of both Hela and Fenris the wolf.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
What? How? That makes no sense.
Because they're gods. They can do whatever they want.
That's fair.
Tom Hiddleston described Loki as dealing with permanence, He said, it's in Loki's nature to change. He is a mercurial spirit, and the minute you try to define him, he changes shape. But the events in Ragnarok try to inspire him to change forever. The goddess of death shows up, and the stakes are high for everyone. So Loki, perhaps more than ever, is challenged to define himself in the face of that threat. He and Thor are in such an extraordinary situation where everything is so unfamiliar that their familiarity as family members becomes important.
Oh, wow. That's good.
So he's like, yes, Loki is like the god of mischief, and he's like always like impossible to tie down.
Yeah.
But because there's such a existential threat, he sort of like realizes how important, especially his connection with his brother, is.
Yeah. Damn, that's deep, dude. That's deep. I did like Loki in this movie, though. Honestly, he was yeah, very well played.
Really, sort of this, and there's a couple moments in, I think really in Thor: The Dark World is like where Loki starts to, I guess, redeem himself a little bit.
Yeah,
like he did a lot of shitty stuff in the first Thor movie, and obviously he did a lot of shitty stuff in the Avengers. But then after Frigga dies, I feel like that like starts him on this path of being more of a changed person.
Right.
And so he still does like shitty things every now and then, but he's not pure evil
right
anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And so you start to see like that growth in this movie as well, where yes, he like was gonna, even like in the hangar with the spaceships, was gonna betray Thor again, but then in the end he did come back to Asgard and help save everyone.
Right Yeah, like I feel like at the start when we met Loki in the first movies, they wanted him to really be the villain, but then as the movies like progressed, we found out like he's not really a villain. He's more just, like you said, the god of mischief. He just does stupid shit to profit.
But I think I think in the MCU as a whole, I think like Loki's character arc is a very strong one.
I agree. Yeah. It levels out at the very end.
We do have we do have one trash fact here.
Oh God, here we go.
And it says, while Thor is looking for Bruce Banner, behind him there is a man waving a Hulk pinata.
You're kidding me. What?
That's it.
That's it. Dude, come on, man.
Not even a coincidence, because when he's looking for Banner, everyone has fucking Hulk pinatas. Like there's Hulk everywhere. They're celebrating
parade.
Hulk.
Yeah. It was a parade of Hulk. What? Okay. Well, that was really fucking bad. Yikes, dude. God, sometimes people just want to put something out there.
Yeah.
Well, that was good.
Wild.
Those were good.
Yeah. Very wild. Really, really good movie. Like I said in the beginning, this is a completely different tone from the previous two Thor movies. So if you watched those and you were like, eh, this isn't for me, maybe try again.
Yeah. This, I mean, like we said, we've in the whole movie, we only found like two negatives, right? Which is pretty fucking good. So I would highly recommend it. I enjoyed it the whole way through. It's kind of like a comedy action movie.
But also, I mean, there might be people out there who are like, I know a lot of people have problems sometimes with like, oh, the MCU is too funny. And so, I don't know, maybe some people will like this and be more upset because it doesn't take itself too seriously.
I mean, maybe, but at the same time, like what defines, you know, Marvel as not being allowed to have jokes in their movies, you know?
Yeah.
That's just a personal opinion. If you like them, like you said, if you like them with the comedy, watch. And if you don't, this might not be the one for you because it's literally throughout the whole movie.
But we would love to hear from you guys. What did you think about Thor Ragnarok? Did you like it? Did you not like it? What were your favorite jokes?
Did we make you want to watch it? Yeah, write down your jokes. I mean, we named a few, but there were a lot more. So,
yeah. So as always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review, hopefully 5 stars, but you know, be honest. Tell your friends and family about us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CashFanPod. And if you want to send us a message, whether it be a joke or a movie recommendation or just general thoughts, you can do so on either of those platforms, or you can send us an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com.
That was perfect. That was beautiful.
Any last second thoughts from you, Luca?
I think that everyone needs to reach out, even if you are only listening to a part of it. Like Cayman said, he said it all. We love hearing from you guys.
Perfect. This has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.